Streaming and serving out of Fayetteville, Georgia, you are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe. Let's check out today's message.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. And so, welcome to New Vision Church. It's so great to have you all here today, worshiping with us. Those of you who are watching online, we say greetings to you as well. We've been in a series over the last few weeks called 8 Billion Reasons. And our focus a lot in the month of March is talking about missions and how important missions are to the church and how important missions are to God and reaching other people who don't know Jesus. And today we're wrapping up that series. And so I've entitled this 8 Billion to 1. 8 Billion to 1. You see, it's one of those things that sometimes we look at this large, huge world. We talk about Jesus who loves the entire world. Jesus died for the entire world. But today, I want to center it down on you. Jesus did all this for the entire world, but he also did it for you. And I want you to know that you are not lost in a sea of 8 billion faces to God. He knows you individually. He knows you personally. He knows everything that's going on in your life. And today, out of all the 8 billion some people that are alive, he's aware of you and what you need. And so today on Resurrection Sunday, you know, there's a lot of things that people do on Resurrection Sunday and a lot of things that are traditions for people. But I appreciate you making the effort to be in the Lord's house today to celebrate the risen Lord. Because he is risen, and he is risen indeed. Nothing is going to change that reality. Even your unbelief is not going to change that. It doesn't matter what governments do. It doesn't matter what other people do. It doesn't matter even what you do. Nothing is going to change the fact that Jesus is alive. Amen? And he's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. Right? We have something to celebrate. There is something to celebrate today. And so we've gathered here to celebrate what really is the most incredible event in human history. And I have to say in human history because, you know, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit existed before humans did. And so we need to realize that this is the greatest event in our history. In our timeline, there is nothing greater than Jesus' resurrection. Because the resurrection really redefined a lot of things. Think about it. Our calendars have changed because of it. Time has changed because of it. There are certain things that we do because Jesus has risen from the dead. When you think about significant days in our lives, we've all had significant experiences, even collectively as a nation and even as a world. You think about things like that affected us, especially here in the U.S., like the bombing of Pearl Harbor. You think about the Berlin Wall coming down, and Ronald Reagan saying, you know, let that wall come down. And everybody was watching. You think about 9/11, and that has dramatically changed the history of our nation and even around the world. And then even most recently with things like COVID-19, how that event changed everything for us. But even though all of those events have affected us individually and collectively, there's nothing more important, nothing more incredible, nothing can compare to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is no other God that ever claims to have risen from the dead. Have you got that? That Jesus Christ, Christianity is distinctly different in so many ways, but there's no other religion, no other God who's ever claimed to be able to rise from the dead. And yet, our God has. And even though these events that I just mentioned to you are powerful, nothing holds a candle to what we are celebrating today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. The miraculous resurrection has not only shaped our lives and calendars, but it's shaped really a lot of people's eternity. Many of us in this room can testify and give witness that Jesus Christ and his death, resurrection from the grave has changed our destiny forever. And I want you to be thinking about it. How has that changed your life? Has it changed your life? Because you see, Jesus did this for you. You've probably heard this said before. I believe it's true. That if you were the only one who needed a Savior, Jesus would have still died for you. And today, you might be the only one in this room who may need to hear this message today, but God loves you. And God has a plan for your life, and God wants you to know His resurrection power. He wants you to know that He can change not only your life, but your destiny. You see, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, we would have no hope. Do you realize that? This is why a lot of people end up taking their own lives, because they come to a point where they have no hope, where they have no other reason for living. I know people who've done that. But this morning, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is our living hope. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 17, look at what this says. Now, if Christ has preached that He has been risen from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God. Do you realize that? That if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, then everything I'm saying is worthless, and you can call me a false prophet. Here's why. Because we would have testified against God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying the resurrection is so important that if Jesus didn't do it, not only is He a false prophet, but everyone else who come after Him talking about Jesus is a false prophet. Let that sink in for a moment. How important is the resurrection? How important is this event, not only to human history, but to our faith? It matters because if Christ had not been raised from the dead, we would have no hope and we would still be dead in our sins. If Jesus had not been raised from the grave, he would be just like all the other religious leaders. All the other good people who had good teaching, who had great followings, He would be just like them. If Jesus hadn't been raised from the grave, He would simply be a poor, tragic hero who died for nothing, believing in His own lies. Think about that. If Jesus did not keep His word, if Jesus did not have the power to raise from the dead, then He's just a poor, tragic hero that we somehow admire and say, wow, what a tragic event. But the important fact to remember is this, is that Jesus didn't come to just preach about God or teach a new way of living. He came to give His life as a ransom. In Matthew 20, verses 27 and 28, He says this. Jesus says, "Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And look at this. "To give His life a ransom for many." Jesus came to have the great exchange. The great exchange is this, is that Jesus would give His life so that you wouldn't have to die for your own sins. That God said, I cannot accept a human sacrifice. I can only accept a supernatural sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice. And that would only be possible through the death of His Son. That Jesus would have to come and lay down His life. In fact, Jesus said, no one takes my life from me. He willingly laid it down. You know, we had our Good Friday service the other day, and when we celebrate Good Friday because of what Jesus did for us by suffering on the cross. It wasn't good for Jesus, it was good for us. Jesus endured an incredible amount of suffering and pain. We can't even really comprehend what He went through. But Jesus' mission was to come and die and to give His life as a sacrifice for the world. But this is what we got to remember. It wasn't like He was going to stay dead. Jesus was even predicting all of these things. In fact, there are three times that Jesus predicted His death, burial, and resurrection. I want to show you those. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 23. It says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. For you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. You see, Peter wanted to protect Jesus, say, Jesus, no, you don't need to die. Don't talk about death. Don't talk about that. And Jesus said, this is the reason I've come. Jesus knew it, and he was trying to let his disciples know it. Matthew 17, 22 and 23. And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day. And look at this. And they were deeply grieved. So disciples were starting to get it a little bit. You're serious? You're actually going to die? No, we don't want to think about that. We don't want to hear that. The final time, Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. And Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way, so all 12 are hearing this. On the way, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. I think when the disciples heard this, he will be crucified, I think their brains probably shut down. They didn't hear the resurrection part. I think when they heard crucify, these images came to their mind that they could not fully comprehend. You see, crucifixion was a terrible way to die. In fact, it was reserved for the most horrible of criminals. And they had really rows and lines of people where these crucifixions would happen so that people coming into town would see when somebody committed a crime, this is what would happen to you. And oftentimes, they would have their crimes posted on the crosses. So when someone committed a crime, let's just say, you know, you committed murder, and they would put on that cross, committed murder. This is what happens to you in our city when you commit murder. You die this way. And so when Jesus says, they're going to crucify me, their brains are shutting down because they're thinking, well, you're not a criminal. What are you talking about? Crucified. This is only for people who have done horrible crimes. Crucifixion was something that was brutal. The Romans really perfected it. They had gotten to the point where they would train their Roman soldiers how to use these flagrum, these cat of nine tails. And they would be able to stand a distance from Jesus. And by the way, before Jesus is scourged, as this passage says, they took Jesus out, and they most likely, they were beating him in the face, punching him, mocking him. This is all before the scourging. So Jesus has already been bloodied and bruised. Then they take him out, and they tie him to this post. They have lictors, these are the Roman officials, lictors who stand behind him a distance. And they have been trained to use these flagrum to whip it across the victim's back so that these pieces of bone, glass, and rock would get stuck into the skin, and then they would pull it back and literally fillet Jesus open. The pain can be so intense that many people pass out. They say after about 2.5 minutes, the brain just shuts down because of the intense pain. Under Jewish law, you could only beat someone 40 times. And many times, the Jews wouldn't even reach 40 times, they would only go 39 because they didn't want to break the law. And so this is what they're thinking, but we've got to understand Jesus was not being beaten by the Jews. He was being beaten by the Roman lictors. That meant they could beat him as long as they wanted. And at time after time after time, this blood is being spilled. And as far as we know, Jesus never passed out. You know what that means to me? That means that every time he was hit, he felt it. This means that every time he was struck, he was consciously aware of it. And so when Jesus says, they're going to crucify me, I believe the disciples' brain just kind of shuts down here because they're thinking, this is a horrible way to die. After the lictors did the beating on Jesus. They gave him the cross to carry. And this cross would be carried down a road called the Via Dolorosa. And the Via Dolorosa was a one-way road. That once you got to that road, there was no hope for a pardon. There was no chance of you surviving. And so oftentimes, they would tie ropes around the criminals. Because you knew if you were going to be crucified, if you got to the Via Dolorosa, there was no chance, no hope. And so they would pull them along. And Jesus has this rope around him, but the Bible tells us that he was like a lamb being led to the slaughter. Jesus never resisted. Jesus never fought. Jesus never tried to prevent crucifixion. Think about that. That if you knew you were going to die the most brutal death, would you not try to fight against it? Would you not try to prevent it? And yet here is Jesus who is being led down the Via Dolorosa. And as he's walking, the Bible tells us that he stumbles. And they get a man named Simon of Cyrene to help him. Simon of Cyrene was most likely there just to celebrate the Passover, which was going to be the next day. And Passover was a time when people would come from all over back to Jerusalem because it was a time for them to sacrifice a lamb in remembrance of God bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. And during Passover, you sacrifice a lamb, and on the first Passover, they were to take the blood and they were going to put it across the door of their homes. And what would happen is this: God had told Pharaoh that the final penalty, the final judgment, would be the killing of the firstborn. But everyone who had the blood over the doorposts, the death angel would pass over them, the firstborn. The Israelites put the blood over their doorposts to celebrate Passover because that's when the death angel passed over their firstborn, and they were set free. So here is Jesus, who is now being led down the Via Dolorosa on the day before Passover. And he's been bloodied and beaten and bruised. He's carrying his own cross to the place where he's going to die. He stumbles and falls, and this gentleman, Simon of Cyrene, who's there to celebrate the Passover, is called out to come and carry the cross for Jesus. The blood gets on his hands. The blood is all over him. They lead them to Golgotha, the place of the skull, where they use ropes and ladders to raise Jesus up on the cross after having driven spikes into his hands, into his feet. And as they drop him down into that socket, the weight of his body, the jolt from that drop, pulls his bones out of joint. Jesus is now hanging on the cross and struggling to say anything. He somehow gets out seven different phrases or words. And one of those phrases is, "Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing." Maybe you're not aware of all that Jesus went through on the cross. Maybe you're here and you're not really fully aware of why we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. But we celebrate it because of what Jesus did on Good Friday, so that the death angel could pass over us, because the death angel did not pass over Jesus, the firstborn, the only begotten Son of God, that he died on the cross for us. I'm going to share a song with you here now, and at the end of this song, I'm going to ask you to not clap, but to just sit in that moment, because you see, what happens on Good Friday, you come to Saturday and it's silent. And I believe there's this silence on Saturday because God has finished his work. If you remember in Genesis, right, on Saturday, God rests. His work is finished. And I believe that on Good Friday, Jesus laid down his life, and it was silent on Saturday because God had finished his work. And we celebrate resurrection on Sunday because it's a new day. But at the end of this song, I'm going to ask you to simply sit in that moment and reflect upon why Jesus did this. And he did it for each one of us. They had to sacrifice a lamb. But John the Baptist tells us that Jesus is the Lamb. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is our sacrifice. And because Jesus laid down his life for us, we can have life eternally. This song is called Watch the Lamb. Saturday was silent. Not because God was dead. And even though Jesus said, "It is finished," it didn't mean he was finished. He was just getting started. Amen. Amen. And so we are here to celebrate his resurrection. Amen. But to get to the resurrection, there has to be a death. Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6 says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said.'" Jesus told his disciples, "Yes, I will die. Yes, they will bury me, but I will rise again." And he did, just like he said he would. When the women showed up to put spices and to continue the burial process for Jesus, they arrived to a grave and a tombstone that had been rolled away. I want you to understand, it wasn't the Romans who rolled the stone away. It wasn't the disciples who rolled the stones away. It was an angel who rolled the stones away, rolled the stone away. But he didn't do it because Jesus couldn't get out. He did it because if the stone was there, people couldn't get in. Jesus was already risen before the women got there. And so God sends the angel to remove the stone so the women and the disciples can come in and see clearly. And that is what we see in that last line. "Come, see the place where he was lying." It's important to pay attention to tenses. That's right. He was there, but he ain't there no more. Let me just put it in y'all's language, right? He ain't there. He ain't there. But this is when, and when we're talking about missions this month, and I want you to understand that for all of us, God's message, Jesus' message is come and see. Come and see. Jesus wants you to believe even more than you want to believe. And there are a lot of people, and I want to say this, there may be people even in here who are watching who don't believe, and it's okay. God is not afraid of your unbelief. God can handle it. Any question you've got, bring it to him. Any doubt you have, bring it to him. Because this is what he's saying, come and see. Come and see, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let him show you himself. Even Thomas, one of the disciples who'd been following Jesus for 3 years. He wasn't there on the day that Jesus walked through walls the first time. And so Thomas said, "I don't care what you guys tell me. You can tell me that you met the resurrected Lord, but until I see him myself, until I put my hands, my finger into his hands, until I can touch his side, I will not believe." And maybe you're like that. You know, you may be saying, "I need more proof. I need more proof." Let me tell you, God will give you the proof if you're willing to accept it. Amen. You see, so many people are like, "Well, if God would just do this, then I would believe." How many times have you said that? And God has proven himself over and over and over again, and you still refuse to believe. But look, the tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away, and the angels, God, we are all inviting you to come and see. Come and see what the Lord can do. Try him, and you will know that he is real. Open your eyes and let him work in your life. And I think this is awesome, too. It continues on in Matthew 28, verse 7. And then it says, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." You see, the message of Jesus is not just to come and see, it's a go and tell. It's not enough for us to just gather together on Sundays, week after week after week, and just hear about what God, and even see the things that God is doing. He's saying, go and tell other people. When you leave this place, go and share with other people that the Lord is risen. When you leave this place, and wherever you go, be willing to talk about the resurrected Lord. Be willing to share with them what God has done in your life and how you even were not a believer at one time, but God has proven himself to you over and over and over again that he is alive and he is well. You see, we have a mission just as Jesus did, that Jesus accomplished his mission. Do you realize that? That Jesus accomplished his mission by laying down his life and taking it up again. And in the same way, you have a mission, but you're going to have to be willing to lay down your life. You have to be willing to say, hey, I'm not going to live for myself anymore. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And we can accomplish the mission that God has for us. And here's why. Because our debt has been paid. You see, when I was telling you about these people who are crucified and they have their crimes posted on those crosses, when Jesus was crucified, they put a plaque on his cross of his crime. Many of you already know what that plaque said. What did it say? The King of the Jews. You see, it wasn't a mistake that they put that on there. They had to put what his crime was. They had to state to everybody who was coming into town, this is why this man is being crucified. Oh, he didn't commit a crime, but he's the King of the Jews. In fact, the religious leaders came back to Pilate and said, change that sign. Change that sign. They didn't like the way it was written because it said in three languages, it said the King of the Jews. They wanted the sign changed to say, he said he's the King of the Jews. And Pilate said, sorry, guys, what I've written, I've written. Because the only thing Jesus was guilty of was being who he said he was. That he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so we're no longer bound by our sin, because Jesus paid our sin debt. Because Jesus laid down his life for the great exchange, so that you would not have to pay for your sins. Jesus paid it all. I'm going to invite our sign team and painters to come on up, and we're going to share a song with you here. And at the end of this song, we're going to have a time for you to interact with us in the service, because I do believe it's important for us to all engage in worship together. And as we share this song with you, it's a song, and the lyrics are an old church hymn called Jesus Paid It All. And as you listen to this song, as you watch what's happening in front of you, I want you to realize that Jesus paid it all for you. That we don't have to work for our salvation. We don't have to be better than someone else. The Bible tells us that eternal life is a free gift of God to anyone who would believe in his Son. That anyone who would receive what Jesus has done for them on the cross, that would believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, the Bible tells us that person can be saved. That person can have eternal life. Because the Bible tells us that he that has the Son has life. Because Jesus paid it all. And so this morning, your debt has been paid. This morning, Jesus died for you. And all of us have blood on our hands. You know, you see, it's like people say, oh, who was it that put Jesus on the cross? It was you and me. Our sin put him on the cross. And we need to realize that apart from the blood of Jesus, we have no hope. But it's because he willingly shed his blood for us, we can be called the children of God. In just a moment, we're going to give you a chance to interact with us. We've got some baby's breath here on the platform. We have a cross over here. When someone dies, it's very common for people to send flowers. So this morning we have a cross here to represent Jesus' death on the cross. I'm going to invite you to put some baby's breath because Jesus gave up his final breath for us. And as you come through and you put baby's breath on there, I want you to remember how Jesus gave his breath for you. But because he did that, in the scripture, the word breath is also translated as spirit. That because Jesus gave up his breath for us, he can breathe his Holy Spirit into us. And to everyone who believes, everyone who receives, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to live with them forever.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, please visit our website at newvisionc.com and our socials at New Vision Church and NVC Next Gen. Just look for the round broken V logo and we'll see you soon. God bless.